Hi, Sam.
Hey. You what?
You're scary. What are we doing?
I don't know anymore.
Recording a motherfucking podcast.
What you said, you've somehow managed to reach M cubed, or M3, however you want to say it.
You sound very unsure. Are you sure?
No. The roar at the beginning, I don't know. Anyway, so it's Murder, Mystery, and Mayhem, and,
roar.
We're here. Alright, so I'm recording now. And neither one of us are muted now, so... Okay. Do we sound okay now?
I don't know, do we?
The wavelengths are big.
Yay!
Yeah!
We like them big.
We like them juicy. I am so sorry.
You get it? That's what she said.
Yeah. So, I want to apologize for the lack of episode last week, because whatever fuckery I did with the audio before, it did not work out. It's better now, I think, hopefully.
You know how we joked about her completely cutting me out of the next episode? Yeah, that's what she did.
Oops. No, we recorded a whole ass episode, like 2.5 hours of our dumbassery, and it was not usable.
No.
In any way. Like, there was no way I could have made that work. So I'm sorry. I hope that we've got things fixed now. The wavelengths look pretty, so we'll see. Maybe. I don't know.
So,
anything new?
I'm sure there's probably something.
I don't know, it's just been busy as fuck.
Mm-hmm. I've been in a depressed kind of mood lately, so we gotta get out of that funk.
Yeah, we do, so let's talk about murder.
It's, I don't know what the word for it is, that murder makes me feel better. What?
Psychotic?
Yeah, that's probably it.
No, like the rest of us, I've
unhinged.
Possibly. No, I've begun enjoying the time that we're cutting out for us to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fantastic. Makes me happy. Keeps me from super depressed mode.
Yeah. Gets me out of the house.
I don't know, the last time we recorded this, I had asked you how many states we had downloads in. I had the answer then, but I don't have it now, so I'm gonna take a moment and count.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember what all we talked about in the last episode that got cut.
All of it.
I know, but I don't remember
I'm so sorry.
What we talked about. I know I have that song stuck in my head, though, where it's like, objection, hearsay. You know that one?
You find the song, I'm gonna find the numbers.
The only part that stuck in my head though is objection, hearsay.
So, we are in 16 different countries.
16 different?
16 different countries, and that's fucking bonkers to me.
Then I became a lawyer representing Amber Heard.
Objection, hearsay.
Yeah, I've got that song stuck in my freaking head. In how many states?
27.
Woo-woo.
So we've gone up since the last time we recorded.
Woo-woo. And we have over 600 listens.
Yeah!
600 downloads.
With our shitty quality, so thank you for sticking around at this point.
Yeah.
So that's all I gotta say.
It only goes up from here, guys.
It really does. Eventually, I will figure out what the fuck I'm doing, and we will have some better things to listen to. That happens, we may be able to provide a little bit more content here and there. I've got some ideas, and Paige is opting out of doing some of them.
I'm claustrophobic and do not want to get in a dinosaur costume first.
Okay, so it is 7 foot tall, and it is very spacious.
But I can teach you some dance moves.
Okay, that'll be hilarious. If you haven't seen the video of me, Sam, if you guessed right, good job, guys. You're running in a 7 foot tall dinosaur costume. You should go to Instagram.
Yes.
Or our TikTok page, since that's the only video on there.
And I don't know why the video posted twice on Instagram.
Oh, it's totally me. And oh, okay. I am not, I don't know. I didn't pay attention. I was like, fuck it. It's just going to stay there.
I was like, did I post that twice?
I think you posted it and then I also posted it because I forgot that it's not linked to Facebook anymore.
Yeah, it's not linked. I had it linked and then all of a sudden it fucked up. Squeak, squeakity squeak. Squeak, squeak, squeakity squeak.
Gronk! Pull the lever!
I love that movie.
Me too. That's a good
not
one.
Not touch it. Not touch.
It's like my motto.
What's a motto? Nothing. What's a motto with you? Sorry guys, I'm going to Disney soon. And I've been catching up on my Disney.
I'm rather jealous. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm very excited.
It's been a long time since I went to Disney. And fun fact, I did it prior to having children. We got to go and experience it as adults, not parents.
Yeah, we went on our senior trip, and it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I tell you, that was like the best trip ever. Well, not ever, but it was a lot of fun. I loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, so last week when we tried to record the Dire Love Pass episode, the audio sucked. So I was going to do that again today, but then I decided that I didn't want to. because I made it go from 6 pages to 9, and Paige is already tired. So I figured I would switch it up and do a Milk Carton Chronicles episode. So we're going to start off with one sort of smaller case. I don't know.
It is a case.
It is a case. It's not a story. It's fucking real. It's fucking terrifying. And then we'll go into a longer one. Because when you go to the Charlie Project, they have so many fucking cases.
Yes.
And so for the main case today, I clicked on the first state that I saw. And then I just kind of moved my mouse around until it landed on something. And I clicked it. And then it happened to be this fucking crazy ass case that needed more research. So that's what I did.
Yeah, Charlie Project is amazing.
It is.
And these cases, I don't understand how it's not more televised, you know?
Yeah.
And you just randomly find them and it's just insane, the stuff behind it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
A couple of trigger warnings. Because, yeah. The first one we're talking about is a woman being kidnapped. And then the main case is about a woman and her 4-year-old child. I will go ahead and spoil that. The child just disappears. Things happen to mom, but the child disappears and there's no specific information after that. Just so you know. Because we don't cover child cases the majority of the time. And
this is the second time you have sprung this on me. I don't like it.
Okay, but listen. It's important.
It is important. But I don't like to think about it.
But it's bonkers as fuck. So, trigger. We need the little sparkle sound. Trigger! I'm just stalling getting into these stories because they're fucking terrible and I'm just going to apologize beforehand. And Paige, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go dive into the Milk Carton Chronicles for the shorter case because there's quite a bit of information but also not enough. So here we go! So we've shared this one on Instagram a few times that I know of. This woman's disappearance occurred this year in January. However, there are so many strange things that happened leading to her abduction that I felt we needed to dig into it a little bit more and bring more awareness to it. Mm-hmm. Because it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And I know I keep fucking saying that, but like, you'll see.
Yeah, it's awful.
Let me tell you a little bit about the woman who was abducted. Her name is Elnaz Hajtamiri. She is fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. I know that we say that a lot for like people have disappeared and be like, oh, she's a beautiful soul. No, she's fucking gorgeous. Just the truth. Like, she is described as a 5'3" woman with a slim build, shoulder length black hair. At the time of her disappearance, she was 37 years old. She had moved to Canada from Iran nearly 4 years ago after losing her husband. She recently began her own cake-making company after leaving an import-export business. The reason I said this needed a little bit more digging was because 2 weeks prior to her actual abduction, on December 21st, 2021, she was in her parking garage that was, like, attached to her condo or whatever, in Richmond Hill, and that's, like, north of Toronto. She was in the garage, and she was brutally attacked by at least 2 men with a frying pan. A fucking frying pan.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, according to CBC, one of the news outlets there in Canada, a witness interrupted the attack, and the tiny little dick men fled in their stolen vehicle, which was later found, and the police realized that it was stolen. So that led them nowhere. This attack caused her to have 35 to 40 stitches on her forehead. It was, like, right above her eye into her hair.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's pictures of it on Instagram. I'm not going to post one of those pictures, but you can absolutely go to the Instagram page, and I'll point that out at the end because I forgot to write it down. But anyway, according to The Guardian, another news outlet, and I quote, "Police say they later retrieved a tracking device, but another 2 tracking devices were found in the car when she brought the vehicle in for servicing in November, a month prior to her attack in the parking garage."
So somebody's keeping a close eye on her.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Obviously, she was fearful for her own safety, so she moved in with some relatives in Wasaga Beach. It was reported by The Guardian that the only time she had left this community was to retrieve her vehicle, computer, and phone from the police from the previous attack. 2 days after she picked all the stuff up from the police station, she was abducted. And I would love to say that this is where the weirdness ends, but it's not. There's more.
Did they, like, say who the tracker was from?
No.
There's 3 trackers, mm-hmm. and nobody knew who put the trackers on. Mm-mm. It's already weird if you have 1, but if you have 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyways, keep going.
On January 12th, just a few weeks after the attack in the garage, she was at her family's home. Not parents, but relatives. I just wanted to point that out. She was at the family's home when 3 men in police gear knocked on the door and claimed they had an arrest warrant for Elnaz. When the homeowner became suspicious because she hadn't done anything wrong, she tried calling the police. One of the tiny dick men overpowered her, took the phone away from her, dragged Elnaz out without shoes in the snow to their unmarked car. Because, mm-hmm. you know, not police. And then they sped off. So eventually, the homeowner was able to contact the police and get everything started for her abduction. And obviously, they kind of paid more attention to it this time.
Right.
Because it was a little odd anyway, but
I mean, she got beat with a frying pan. She had 3 trackers on her vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't enough.
Nope. Nope. So the police say that they believe that there are at least 5 individuals responsible for her disappearance. I'm not sure where they're getting that number. I'm assuming 3 for going up to get her, 1 driver, maybe another person behind the whole thing, but that's just my weird-ass brain going, how'd you get to 5? And at least 5.
Yeah.
That's weird. In late January, after her disappearance, her ex-boyfriend was arrested. Not for the disappearance itself. His name is Mohammed Lillo? I don't know. I don't really care. He was arrested for criminal harassment. The 2 broke up sometime in October. Something happened where she had to contact law enforcement to get involved when he was contacting her in some way. None of the news outlets say anything about what had happened specifically, but I'm assuming he was being a complete and utter jackass.
Oh, yeah.
And she felt unsafe in some way. So, according to CBC, Muhammad had hired Investigations Plus LTD, that he hired them to locate and watch her. Now again, it's worth mentioning because
LTD, licensed trained detective?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyways, keep going.
This is worth mentioning because according to whoever the fuck CBC was talking to, it was reported that these hired private investigators were watching Elnaz in Wasaga Beach on January 10th and 11th, but was called off on the morning of January 12th, the morning of her abduction. So, I am not accusing anyone in any way, shape, or form. I don't know whether he was directly or indirectly involved or involved at all, but
this suspicious.
Is odd.
That's suspicious.
Yeah.
That's weird.
The Investigations Plus confirmed that they had been hired around December 6th or the 9th. They couldn't tell what day that was.
But did he say why he was tracking her?
There's nothing in the news outlets. Again, this is such a weird-ass case, too, because so they at that point in January, at the end of January, they didn't have anyone. They didn't know who attacked her initially, and they had no idea how to find the people who abducted her. So, when she was attacked in December, they were able to get some camera footage from traffic lights or something like that, and were able to get the faces, very blurry faces, the people they suspected had, who had attacked her. It took until April to find these people, to even have their names and everything. So in April, a man by the name of Rayasat Singh was arrested due to his alleged involvement in the attack in December. Singh is 23 and faces 4 charges. These charges include attempted kidnapping, attempted murder, possession of property obtained by crime over 5,000, and mischief under 5,000.
Mischief. I like that.
Yes, that's another good one. So at this time, they know at least 2 people were involved in that one, but they haven't been able to find the second person. They have a name for him, and his name is Harshdeep Binner, and they have a Canada-wide warrant for his arrest. But to this day, there is no information about the man. It seems like the police believe that if they are able to find the individuals responsible for the attack in December, it could lead to information, solid information about her actual abduction.
I'm hoping they're tracking the ex-boyfriend too, right?
I would hope so. I know that he had gone to court over the criminal harassment charges, but I forgot to write down what the outcome of that was. In an attempt to help get any information out of the public, the police there got her mother to record a plea. And out of respect for her, I'm not going to attempt to say her name because I will butcher it terribly. Miss Hashtamiri states in a video released by the police, "We desperately need your help. I beg you as a mother to guide us and tell us anything you know. Please, I beg of you." I feel like it's important to point out that her family wholeheartedly believes that she is still alive and is being held against her will. Like always, if you know anything, and I mean anything about where she is, who abducted her, or even think you know somebody that is involved, yes, it would suck to point a finger at an innocent person, but look at Bundy. But don't be a dick and give false information because that makes you less than a tiny, teeny tiny little dick man. I'm not even sure what word for that would be, but anywho, if you have any information, you should call the dedicated tip line at 1-833-728-3415.
Sam, stop talking about penises.
Never.
Penis, this guy. Hey.
Funny little thing before we jump into the main case today.
The main attraction.
I've got 2 boys, and I taught them the anatomically correct word for their genitals. And
penis.
Well, for some reason, Zane, my older boy, changed it to peeny. And I was like, well, that's weird, but okay. But I am so fucking thankful for it. Because this boy would, we would be going down the grocery store aisle, and he would literally point at people and say, "He's got a peeny, she doesn't have a peeny, mommy. He has a peeny, she doesn't have a peeny. Mommy, you don't have a peeny." And I'm like, "You're right, I don't have a penny."
I see what you did there. So,
yeah, that's...
Let me tell you an embarrassing story about Hayden. Well, it's not embarrassing about her. It embarrassed the shit out of me, but whatever.
Oh.
We were in a TJ Maxx bathroom, and it was packed for some damn reason. I don't know why. But Hayden was like, she was little, like little. And we're in the bathroom, and I'm trying to change her brother. And she turns, and she looks at the door. We're in a stall, by the way. She turns. I would hope so. She turns. Well, you know, sometimes the changing tables are out in the hallway.
Yeah.
But, or in the, you know, whatever. But anyways, we're in a stall, and she turns, and she looks at the back of the door, and she said, "Look, Mama, there's a hooker in here." And my eyes got super fucking big, and I was like, no. And this woman out in there gasped. She's like, oh. And then this other woman just dies laughing, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I would gosh,
be that woman that just dies laughing and be like, where is she, honey?
Oh my gosh. But she had that little itty bitty teeny tiny voice, you know? So it's like, look, Mama, there's a hooker in here. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Oh, that's funny. Please.
Yeah.
She was talking about the hooks to hold your purse or whatever, right?
Yeah, she was talking about the hooks. When we left that bathroom.
Your face must have been the shade of...
a lobster, Elmo? Yes. Yeah. And we left. We just left completely out of TJ Maxx, too. I was like, yep, we're fucking leaving.
The ultimate walk of shame out of the bathroom.
It was lovely.
That's fun. Okay, again, I'm trying to stall. And I'm sorry. So again, I'm going to throw out that trigger warning here. A child is involved, but very little information is known about the child, so it doesn't go into a deep dive on that part. So, trigger! As I pointed out earlier, I went to the Charlie Project website and went to the first state I found, which was Connecticut, and picked a name at random. That name was Rosa Marie Camacho, but her family refers to her as Rosita, so I'm gonna do that because it keeps things a little separated. Her mother's name is also Rosa. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, I would steer clear from children cases. I'm sorry, Paige. She's gonna kill me. So the way the Charlie Project does their information is, like, they'll have the pictures, and then they'll have the identifying information, like, where they were last seen, what they were wearing, and all of that stuff. And then it goes into this massive paragraph paper-esque that has all the information that you need.
And it's bonkers. It is crazy.
So I was like, okay, well, this isn't that bad. You know, there's not any terrible thing that has been confirmed. And so I was like, okay, we can cover it. It needs to be covered. Information needs to come out. And then as I kept reading, I yelled out, literally yelled out, what the actual fuck? Zane came to check on me. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, yep, I'm good.
Yeah, it's bad. I feel you.
So, all the triggers. Abduction of a child. The murder of her mother. Sexual assault. Not of the child. Not of the child. And questionable police work. She looks like she's gonna kill me.
Continue, Sam.
If you don't hear my voice again, it's because I chose this case. So, here's the initial information that I was reading. So, I'm going to call her Rosita, like I said. Rosita Camacho has been missing since October 24th, 1997, from Hartford, Connecticut. She is Hispanic, born on June 7th, 1993. She would be 28 years old today. And at the time of her disappearance, she was 3 feet tall, 38 pounds. She was wearing a black jacket and blue pants, and she was 4 when she disappeared. Rosita's mother's name was Rosa Delgado. She was 21 at the time of her disappearance, and her father's name is Julio Camacho. I'm not sure if you call their parents' relationship, like, an actual relationship. He's referred to as Rose's ex-boyfriend, but really it was grooming. He met her when she was 16 and he was at least 21 years old. Mm-hmm. And at the time, if I'm not mistaken, he was working as a police officer at the Hartford Police Department.
I think I've heard this case.
Have you? I've never.
Keep going.
Okay. So on October 24th, 1997, Rosa took Rosita with her for a walk to the store because she had a 5-month-old baby that she left at home with her sister. But they needed milk and diapers, so she decided to take the 4-year-old with her and grab that stuff. She had taken, like, $10 with her, and it was literally, like, a couple of blocks down the road. It wasn't anything crazy. They weren't expecting to be gone long. On the way to the store, witnesses reported seeing Rosa and Rosita on the corner of the street near their apartment, and they were speaking to Julio. It was never confirmed, but that is Rosita's father. That was the last time anyone had seen them, and they never returned home.
Did they make it to the grocery store?
No. They don't even make it that far. Or if they did, it is not noted in any sources I could find. Because as you will see, the police department did not take this seriously for at least a month. So, in November of 1997, a woman's body was discovered floating in 3 feet of water in Columbia Lake in western New Jersey. Initially, authorities were unable to identify her because her head and her hands were missing. They had been cut off. She was dubbed the Lady of the Lake. It wasn't until 1999, when DNA testing was able to be completed, that they found out that it actually was Rosa Delgado. And to this date, there have been no arrests in either of their disappearance or the murder of Rosa. However, Julio was named the prime suspect. When Rosita was born, Rosa applied for state benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And so those state benefits turned into going after the father for
child support,
which apparently was not a pleasant thing because he was already paying child support on 3 other children.
I guess he should have kept it in his pants.
Abso-fucking-lutely. He was not only paying child support on his 3 other children, but he was also raising his second wife's children. And then he was ordered to pay $200 a week for Rosita. So I know that I'm kind of giggly, and humor is my deflection, my coping mechanism, no matter how I'm feeling about it. But I'm very angry about this because he is the tiniest of tiny dick men.
Allegedly.
But even if he didn't do that to Rosa, he was still molesting a child. And they had a child together, so tiny dick men.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. In November of 1997, a little less than a month after the disappearance of the two, and before the headless woman was found, he decided to ask the court to cancel the child support payments until DNA testing was done to support that he was actually the father. He never mentioned that they were fucking missing. Not once did he ever mention it to the court. They canceled it. Because they were like, oh, I guess we should probably do that.
So he hadn't seen his child. And instead of reporting them missing, he wants to cancel the child support.
Yep.
Was that normal that he didn't see his kid?
No.
No.
No. So apparently, according to the relatives that Rosa and Rosita were living with, he would talk to them fairly frequently on the phone. And he would come by for visits and stuff like that. Until they disappeared. Then he stopped calling altogether. He stopped coming by. He never once asked any of the family members if they had seen them, because he hadn't seen them in a while. Not one fucking time. It's suspicious. As fuck.
AF.
Anyway, according to the Charlie Project, the police didn't publicize the disappearance for nearly a month. And according to Rosa's family, her sister specifically, I think, she had explained that they had a family member that worked for a police department in another county. And it wasn't until that relative started questioning things to make an investigation happen. But her family did fight very hard for them to try to find them. They were trying to push them to do it, but they just weren't paying one bit of attention to it. a little bit more background. In 1989, he was charged with third-degree assault on his ex-wife.
What's third-degree assault?
I don't know, but he beat the shit out of her, I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, at the time, he was working for the police department. He was terminated, but then the charges were dismissed, and he was reinstated.
After beating the shit out of his wife?
Uh-huh.
That's fucked.
They should not have done that. They shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have put him in a position of power after they knew that he assaulted somebody. It makes me angry.
Yeah.
But that's not all. That's not all this tiny little man did.
Great. Yeah. Tell me more, Sam.
So I'm going to throw out the next trigger warning. This does involve sexual assault. So skip forward if you need to, or just stop listening altogether. In 1995 and 1997, two women came forward claiming he had handcuffed them and abducted them and had raped them while he was on duty and in uniform.
What the fuck?
To make matters worse, these women were sex workers, so nobody really paid attention to them. Eventually, five other women came forward, making similar allegations. And I could go into detail on those allegations, but I'm not gonna. Because it made me want to punch things. But wait, there's more! He was only one of seven fucking officers accused of this shit at this time. Six other officers. Six.
What the fuck are you doing?
Six.
This is in New Jersey?
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But you fucking asshats. Of all the things that you could have done, letting him back on the force was the worst thing that they could have done. Essentially, he would detain them, get them alone, and use the threat of jail to get them to perform sexual acts on him or force himself on them. They were sex workers. If he had paid, they would have done what he had asked. It's just mind-boggling. I don't understand. Like, they are performing a service. You pay for that shit. There's no reason to force yourself on them. So he's a tiny little dick man that's a piece of shit. Go away. In 1998, Julio resigned from the police department. I have a feeling this is more of a voluntold situation, not so much a voluntary leave of absence. Anyway, his wife at the time, you know, the one he was raising, or helped raising her children, she was also a police officer.
The fuck?
Yeah.
What was her name?
I don't know. I didn't put it in here because, you know, she went on an extended leave of absence as well at that time. I'm sure it was because of everything. But he was arrested in 2000 and held without bond. Only because the prosecution brought up that he had potentially had abducted and murdered his ex, and his daughter is still missing. But wait, there's more.
I don't like when you say that, Sam. Stop saying that.
No, never. I will never stop saying that.
Oh my gosh.
It makes me think of the ShamWow commercials, and it just...
No, it makes me think of Scream.
But wait, there's more!
Matthew Lillard.
Yeah, there is that. Mm-hmm. The prosecution spoke about the raid that had occurred on his home and property in November of 1998. So it took them 2 years to get to the point where they would arrest him. And it wasn't even because of the abduction and murder of his ex and abduction of his daughter. It was because he had violated civil rights by detaining the sex workers and raping them. That is what caused the legal actions.
Yeah.
In November of 1998, the authorities searched his home and his vehicle. Again, I'm gonna say, what the fuck? Because when they checked the trunk of his vehicle, they found that the trunk liner had been removed, which is a big-ass sign of, hey, something was in here that shouldn't have been. And also, the base of the fucking trunk was sanded down. So not only did he clean it, he sanded that shit to make sure there was no crevices for any fluid to get there.
It came that way.
Sure. All right, Amber Heard. You're gonna hate me again. But wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh, Sam. Stop.
They found a homemade hatchet, a wire garrote, and two sawed-off fucking shotguns in his home. Actually, the garrote was found in his vehicle under the driver's side seat.
What is that?
You know, the wire that you put around neck and then tighten.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, you would think, fuck yeah, they got him. No. Each of the items were cleaned so thoroughly that there were no traces of anything. They couldn't get anything off of them.
I swear to God, if you say, but wait, there's more, I'm going to throw something at you.
Okay. Also in his home, police seized a New Jersey map with notes tracing a route to the region of New Jersey where Rose's body was found.
And that's not enough fucking evidence?
Apparently not. So not only did they find all of this shit, they caught him in some big-ass lies. They didn't specify what specifically he lied about, but one of those things is he tried to get his brother to give him an alibi. Also, outside of his brother giving, or him attempting to get his brother to give a false alibi, he had deep scratches that were noticed on the right side of his body after Rosa and Rosita disappeared. There were books that were found that essentially were like, how to get away with murder, how not to leave trace evidence behind type of books.
Well, he's a police, so he needs that.
Sure, but why would there be a book that specifically speaks about removing the head and the hands of someone? Them talking about the raid and everything they found gave the judge enough pause to say, no, son of a bitch, you cannot be released on bond. So in 2001, he pled guilty to the 1995 and 1997 rapes and received only 10 fucking years in prison.
Which he didn't serve all 10 years, right?
No, he was released a little early. The prosecution agreed to not seek charges on the other cases.
The other rape cases?
Yeah. I don't know why. Because they can fuck right off. But anyway,
the girls might not have wanted to testify to.
Maybe. But he has been released since then and is currently, as of 2020, he's living in Virginia. The search for Rosita has not stopped at all. The feds are in on it now. And so they've had a lot of different tips come in. Like, somebody said that there was a girl that matched her description that was in Mexico or something like that. So federal agents had to be involved to do all of that stuff. But in 2016, they decided to ask the owners of where Julio lived at the time to search the property, and they allowed it. But apparently the original home burned down in 2003, so they took excavators and they took everything they could to go out and search this entire property, and they found nothing. Maybe, I don't know, there's nothing that was brought up after that. So if they did find something, they're keeping it very close to the chest.
So they never found her head or her hands?
Nope. But as a side note, because when I first started reading it, I was like, what the fuck happened to the 5-month-old? Rosa's sister is taking care of that child, and they did release the name, but I'm not going to say that because, you know, they need their privacy as well. Rosa's sister and her brother-in-law are taking care of that baby as their own. So she's doing well. So if you have any information on the whereabouts of Rosita Marie Camacho, please call the Hartford Police Department at 860-527-6300. So that's my terrible stories for the day, and again, I'm going to apologize to Paige because she hates it when I bring up children in any form or fashion. And
I don't hate children, guys.
No, she just doesn't like it when people are monsters who do anything to children.
Mm-mm. It gives me anxiety. I can't handle it. I hope that Rosita is alive and well wherever she's at.
So do we have anything to go from full T-Rex? Because this is a full-ass T-Rex episode. And I'm not entirely sure how we're going to bring that down.
Oh, I had that octopus thing from the last one.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta look it up again.
Okay.
I think it was after an octopus mates, a male octopus mates, he dies. And whenever a female octopus lays eggs, she starves to death while waiting for those eggs to be hatched.
Isn't it that the male octopus detaches his penis
after? Is that it?
I'm pretty sure. And that's how he dies.
Is it really? I didn't know that part. So he guillotines his own dick?
Yes! Death after mating. Okay.
Death after mating. That sounds like a great band name.
Yeah, it is. Death after mating. Or reverse that bitch and say mating after death.
I'm not into necrophilia.
No, I was thinking ghosty shit.
Our heads went two different ways.
I'm on the more wholesome side. You're on that deviant shit.
Thinking of Ed Kemper.
Ew. 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 That just took a real dark turn. Good job. Okay, so definitely the female goes batshit crazy after having babies and doesn't eat and then goes into like a frenzy mode and will even like bite off pieces of her own flesh.
I don't know, if I was an octopus, I just wouldn't get laid, I guess.
So the male octopus has a modified arm. It's 3 feet long and about 1 meter in diameter. And it holds rows of sperm. Depending on the species, apparently, he will either approach a receptive female and insert the arm into her lady bits.
He's fisting her?
He's fisting that shit.
Giggity.
Or he will take off the arm and give it to her to store in her mantle for later.
Her mantle?
I think that's like a home for the octopi. If he detaches this arm, the female octopus will keep that arm until she lays eggs. At which time she will take the arm out and spread the sperm over her eggs to fertilize them.
I did not know that. What?
Yeah.
Well, shit, that's crazy. So does it say anything about them dying?
There is a 1% survival rate for the giant Pacific octopus from hatchling to 10 millimeters. The female definitely does die fairly quickly because she does starve herself to death. But then it doesn't say much about the father, or the males. I want you to have my babies. Here, take this.
And then she just sprinkles the eggs.
Sprinkling salt.
Yeah, it's like she's salting the eggs. That is just like the weirdest...
It's like
an image in my head.
It's like frogs' eggs and stuff. Like the female frog will lay the eggs and then the male frog will come back and jizz all over the eggs. And that's how they're fertilized. Your face. So if you've made it this far, congratulations, and I apologize. So if you haven't checked out our social media, you can find us on Facebook,
Instagram,
and Twitter.
Or you can email us at m3truecrimepod@gmail.com. We also have our link tree.
And that will connect you to all of the social media and all of the podcast platforms.
And if you have any case suggestions or fun facts.
Definitely the fun facts. Come on now.
You can submit them there.
Bye!
Getting that duck!